Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. My next guest and I are going to talk about how the world can learn from what those of us who are autistic because we are kind, unconditional, and very open-minded. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage and let's learn more about her. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Aline Rabin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be
So
here.
why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and we'll get going from there.
A little bit about me as a person. I live in California. I'm a mama of two kiddos. I have my trusty dog right next to me, who's 14 and a half. I'm also a therapist, and I started my career working with kids and youth and families, and now I work with youth and adults and parents. And I love being outside. I love reminding people of how incredible they are and how they're perfect as they are. And I really feel strongly that the autistic community has been overlooked and minimized in their own brilliance for a very long time. And I feel like autistic folks are the keys to unlocking our human potential, and really a world full of diverse ways of thinking and being and existing and loving and being seen and seeing others. So I'm so happy to be here with you.
How did you get into the autism scene?
How did I get on the scene? I think, because I've worked with people for so long, I've been working in the field of helping people for 20 years. And in the last couple of years, over and over again, I've been exposed to more and more autistic people, right? Like more and more in my community, either just walking around the block or, having a kiddo who's autistic, or my clients. Most of my clients are actually neurodiverse. And so the more that I have been awakened to how brains work differently, the more passionate I've become that it's all a gift. And I think for me, the most critical moment was probably I started working with somebody in the winter. And in our first time together, I informed them that they were neurodivergent, and I explained to them all of that, and it changed their life completely. And from then on, honoring the truth of who we are is where we have to start. And so I think that's how I got on this scene.
All right. Now, why do you feel those who are autistic get overlooked more for jobs than those who are neurotypical?
Well, there's an ex we are conditioned to be a certain way, right? As like, so people are expected to behave according to this code, this unspoken, unwritten code of conduct, code of conduct that doesn't make sense. It's made up. And so I think one of the things that happens is that autistic folks understand when things are made up. The truth meter is really strong, right? Like the like, huh, that's not right. No, And so when you operate outside of the conditioned parameters that are all socially constructed and made up, I think that it makes it harder for people to recognize. It's like the blindfolds over their eyes to the true gift that somebody has to offer.
All right. Now, do you feel that people should think more like those of us who are on the spectrum?
Will you repeat that,
Do you
please?
think that people should think more like those of us who are on the spectrum?
Okay, let me. I'm like breathing into that question. What? So I'm going to give an answer that's not exactly to that question because I honestly think that more people need to be more of who they are. And I believe that a lot of autistic folks, especially if they're unmasking their autism or not conditioned to perform socially, that they're more authentic to the truth of them because the rules inside are. So what I one of my many prayers is that we all get to be who we are and proud of who we are and celebrated simply for who we are. I don't necessarily think we need to think differently or to adapt to be like a different person. I think that we just get to land more in allowing our own
All right.
beauty, our own perfection.
Do you feel that autism is kind of tied into spirituality?
Ooh, do you? Tell me, Reed.
I think kind of because of the fact that we are more open to our feelings. So we are a little bit more spiritual in nature and we kind of tie into the universe.
Cool. You know what I know, and the people that I get to be with who are autistic, there's more sensitivity, period, to absolutely everything, which includes God, life, the universe, whatever a person believes, right? And so when we, I 100% believe that folks with autism are an answer to most of our prayers for that like diversity of thinking, for that openness, for that true purity of spirit and that like real, raw, honest, here I am self. I believe that.
Let's talk a little bit about the importance of accepting those who have autism. Why do you think you have parent, you got two, in my mind, I know you have two different types of parents. Those who are accepting of their child being autistic and then those who won't accept it. Why do you feel there are parents who won't accept it?
Do you know how much I want to turn this question around and ask you why you think that?
You can.
I bet you
I
have
mean,
the
that's all about
answer.
myself.
Okay, you go for it
I
and I'll
feel
respond afterwards.
the parent doesn't want to acknowledge that the child is disabled. They see it as a negative, and most parents are afraid of the negative. But in terms of things, they need to realize that label is what's going to get them the support they need.
A big difference, right? And times are changing. Times are changing where autism is ideally, hopefully, according to the doctors, getting more recognized and more embedded into society rather than this sort of exiling that we can do. When parents reject their children from very like clinical perspective, when parents reject their children, it's because they're rejecting a part of themselves. There's something in them that they don't like, they don't want to see, they don't want to come to terms with. And for those of us who have autistic kiddos, those gorgeous, perfect little humans are definitely showing us parts of ourselves that are requesting healing, attention, and love. And it's not always an easy teaching. It's often a really challenging teaching. And so to reject our kids or to reject ourselves. And unfortunately, a lot of grown-ups, a lot of parents, a lot of people don't have enough self-compassion to look inwards to come to terms with their own hurt.
Okay. Why do you think autism is being more recognized now than it has been in the past?
What do you tell me yours?
I think because more and more people are coming out, the media is paying more attention to it, it's becoming more streamlined or mainlined, and it's being more recognized. In the past, it wasn't, and I can give you a good story about that. When I first applied for my Social Security income, my mom is like, they're not going to recognize autism because it wasn't in the books in Illinois yet. It wasn't labeled as a disability. They knew nothing about it. She's like, let's wait a couple of years. So a couple of years pass, and she's like, okay, now autism is being recognized. It's being seen as a disability. Let's try it again. Still got denied. And then the third time, my mom's like, I'm going to go through a law firm this time. The law firm said, took all my medical data, all my information, and said, you're going to get denied again. But on the third time, you're going to see on the back form, it's going to say, do you want to appeal to the courts? And do you want someone to represent you? And you say, yes, you do. And you have a lawyer to represent you. I did that. I went to the court with my mother. I met a lawyer. She told her my story. My mom told my story. I told my story. And then they brought in a woman from the vo vocational recreation, said, okay, what about this job? What about this job? My mom was like, nope, works with people, works with people, works with people. Can't work with people because of his autism. He doesn't know what's right or wrong at times to say. And so my mom thanked the woman, we thanked the judge, we left, and the lawyer's like, it'll be a couple of months before you hear anything. Well, about April, right before my birthday, I get a letter in the mail, I open it up, and it says, congratulations, you got the full reward. Minus back pay because of all the bullshit. So that's why. Back then,
That's a lot of hoops
yeah.
to jump through.
And I realize the minorities get it better, have a better chance than those who aren't a minority. I have a friend who's Mexican. He was able to get it without any judge, any trial, or anything because he was a minority.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think, I was in elementary school in the 1980s. Autism wasn't a
No.
thing. In the 90s, maybe a little bit. And the 2000s, more, but also with a whole ton of stigma, right? And really some very intense, if you got labeled with autism,
You were different.
you were very different, and you lost a lot of access to typical, everyday, normal stuff. And I think that in the aughts or the 2010s, things started to shift more, right? And now neurodivergence is a mainstream conversation, but knowing people who started and were activists and were advocating for their autistic kiddos, that's made a huge difference. And now that their autistic kiddos are grown-ups, I think that's part of the reason is that the generational building of a movement happened. And that now the kids that were autistic when it was starting to be recognized and that are now the adults, I think that has a lot to do with it, that we stand on the shoulders of those who've come before us.
Yeah, I mean, to give you an idea, when I first started school, grammar school, I was diagnosed with just a learning disability. Put in some special education classes. As I got older, it went, okay, now we feel he's got ADHD. It wasn't until my mid-20s that my mother's cousin, who was a family lawyer, my primary care physician, and two of my mom's other cousins, who was a psychologist and a college psychiatrist and the college psychologist all said to my mom, "We feel Reed has the traits of high functioning autism." That's when that
Yeah.
light bulb went off in my parents' head that says, this explains all the weird little things he's like.
Right.
Like, I used to take apart my
Yeah.
father's tools to see how they work and all sorts of other things. Now they understand why I do what I do, why I say without thinking. It kind of explains things. So now if I say something to say somebody to somebody that they take offense of, my mom can come around and say, "He didn't really mean it. He has autism. He doesn't have a filter to stop him from saying something hurtful. He doesn't. He's sorry. I know he's sorry. We'll talk to him about it." And then they'll come back to me and say, "Reed, do you realize what you said? You offended this person. It could look bad on us. Please try not to do it again."
And those skills, right? You have different skills, which are the like taking the tools apart, really investigating things. And you don't have other skills, like some of that social
Oh,
stuff and really
I mean,
reading the social cues and all
when
that.
someone asked me what kind of brain process I have, either a logical or a creative or both, I didn't know until I was talking with my friend one day, and he's like, "You got a very creative brain. You're very creative in a lot of things. That's how you're able to do your podcast. You're able to think more creatively. That's why you can't understand like computer programming or logic in itself. But you do understand logic. It's there, but you don't quite grasp it."
And I think one of the things that's really interesting is that the more that autism is explored and understood, is that it really can operate differently for diff it presents differently in different people. Like, imagine that we're different people. It looks different. And that it's still, no matter who you are, we need skill support. No matter who you are, we need help and tending.
I mean,
So,
that's why they're
yeah.
saying when you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism. Everybody is different. You can't
Right?
just go,
Yeah.
"Hey," I mean, it's like I had somebody that said, I told someone I was autistic and this is why I'm acting the way I do. And he goes, "Well, I have a friend that's autistic. He doesn't act that way." And I just wanted to say, you know what? When you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism. We're like snowflakes. We're all different. We're not the same.
Very true.
Anyway, do you have any of your clients who are autistic? Now, do you treat them differently than you do those who are more neurotypical, or do you go about the same way?
Same way.
Okay.
In the sense that how I work with people is I work with people as who they are. So, I talk to my dog like he's a person. I've talked to my kids since they were babies, like they were grown-ups. I talk to an autistic person like they're a person. So for me, when I'm doing therapy, when I'm with a client, you're just a
Yeah.
client who is going to lead me on their own journey, and I am going to be here to support them in whatever way that looks.
I'm pretty sure your clients who are autistic have told you about their special interests. And you're probably a lot of them, I bet.
Well, what I think is helpful to know is that the clients who come to me don't always know that they're neurodivergent or autistic. And I'm actually the first person who suggests it. Now, I don't give the formal assessment, but because I am lucky enough to have different autistic people in my life and to be educated about it, I'm able to assess and know that a depressive symptom doesn't necessarily mean depression. It could also mean ADHD. It could also mean autism. It could also mean this, but I think that gets really overlooked because depression is an easier diagnosis rather than, wait, hold on. You are fixated on things and can't stop thinking about them and get really exhausted in certain situations. but you have a lot of energy other times. But then sometimes you're overstimulated. I don't think this is
No.
depression. And then I have the privilege of educating them about themselves. And the moment that we feel seen, that we are seen, a lot changes. So, yeah, do I hear about special interests? Yeah. Am I into special interests? I love learning things. Why wouldn't I be? And it also really helps us find a way to work together, because when we can use a person's special interest as a healing tool or as a support tool, that's a lot more buy-in than talking about things nobody cares about.
Now, when you get given the realization that you may be autistic to the client, what is the reaction you get? Do they like in shock, like, oh my God, you're so right?
Yes. The moment of feeling seen and understood and being like, I've gone to so many doctors. I've done so many things and nobody's ever suggested this. My mom took me to all these places and I'm like, I don't know why. I don't know why people don't have autism or ADHD on their brains, like as a possibility. But like, yeah, I don't think it's trauma. I think it's autism, or I don't think it's trauma. I think it's ADHD. And they're like, what? Yeah, the shock, feeling seen. Some people have a really hard time with it, right? It's a stigmatized diagnosis. And so if I'm offering it to an adult, they have a different relationship with it. But overall, that like, oh, I'm not whatever. I'm not. It's not a character flaw. My brain is different. And the relief of them.
I mean, a lot of the people I've talked to, when I, especially an adult, when they realize, when they're sitting there with their kid and the doctor's giving them the diagnosis and they're like, check, 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 check. I'm all of these things. I've done all of these things. I've had this, and I think this way. Why haven't I been diagnosed before? And then they go and get diagnosed, and it's just like, and it's like, I ask them, when you get diagnosed, is it like this whole world opens up to you? And they're like, yeah, it's because it explains so much of my past life and why I acted the way I do, why I act this way, why I'm exhausted when I come home, why I need to have something in my hand to fidget with when I'm talking or doing something. And it's just like this bright light just shining on them saying, welcome to the world of autism. It's just like a revelation to them that I can now have something I can share with my son or my daughter that we can commiserate with and talk about and share experiences. Now, do you feel people can learn more about a lot about life from those of us from who are autistic?
I think that it's when people are disadvantaged, because autism's considered a disability, but is it? Right? It's also a powerful ability in so many ways, too. So, when we can embrace and learn from and meet people as they are, who they are, I think that we have a lot to learn. And I think that the autism community has been overlooked and not stigmatized, really, right? Like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how to speak with somebody who has autism, right? That's just like, not
No.
helpful and not
I
true.
mean, I think that's also the same way in the workplaces. The minute they find out you're autistic, it's like, I don't want to hire you because that means I gotta learn how to deal with somebody who's different from the rest of the mentality here. And I feel I may have screwed myself somewhere in the long run in job applications because you know that little checkbox that says disability, you have a disability. And then list all the disabilities, I would circle autism, not thinking you're not supposed to circle it. You're just giving you a list. And then I think that's what backfired on me.
I'm sorry about that. And you're probably right.
Now, how can we teach those to think more like those of us who are autistic, be more kind, more open-minded, more feeling and caring about the world we live in?
What I'm going to say, okay, what am I going to say? I think cross-pollination. We need to be with people who think different than us, who look different than us, who act different than us, who have different backgrounds, who live in different places. We need to cross-pollinate. And we are at a point in our universal evolution where if that doesn't happen, and we don't start really learning from each other, and being in this way where we appreciate each other, ship's going down. Our chance is here to really cross-pollinate. And I think that that's, shows like yours, what you're doing, reaching out to all different kinds of people, that's a huge gift for us.
I mean, I feel that, I mean, people can learn so much about the world from those of us who are autistic because we view it differently. We don't the world and we don't see that gray line. All we see is good or the bad. So we think a lot differently and more logical or more creative in the ways that say, hey, I know what I'm doing. We may wear our emotions on our sleeve, but it doesn't make us a bad person.
No, that makes the it make it's such a blessing.
I mean, one of the greatest questions I asked Dr. Temple Grandin was, why do you think people say we lack empathy? She's like, we don't, it's not that we don't lack empathy, it's that we have too much of it because we care so much about our projects. About the things we put into that we have so much tied into, we have so much feeling for it because we, and because of that, we do it to our best ability. And that shows empathy to an nth degree.
Very true.
And finally, where can people find out more about you on the web and get a hold of you?
My website, which is alenerabin.com. I spend time on Instagram. At Alen_Rabin. Or I just started a new Instagram page specifically for therapy and parenting support, which is at, I'll send it
Okay.
to you. It's a little
All
tricky.
right. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reid Miles. That was Eileen Rabin. I'll see you in the next one. Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you. podcast.